It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, in your day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast, a ministry of Tarsel. This is Pastor Shalom Clemens, and we're glad that you're with us this morning. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He also said, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It's time now for our opening prayer. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you so much for being our sovereign God, the ruler of the universe, a God that we love, but we cannot understand. For everything that we fully understand, not even fully, but everything we think we understand or have a decent understanding, had a beginning. We cannot fathom a God who is from everlasting. But where did God come from would be the natural tendency of the mind, and there is no answer for that. We ask that you would bless us to serve you because you are such a God of all time, and we pray that you will be with us this day. Your name will be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about It's about time for the coming.
studying this morning Ananias and Sapphira. We're in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 has, excuse me, 42 verses. So we will not comment on as much unless the Spirit leads us. Amen. Father, bless us as we study Ananias and Sapphira. Help us not to have any covetousness and to be willing, Lord, to be honest in all at all times in giving and supporting the work of truth with our means. In Jesus' name, amen. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. Now remember back in Acts chapter 4, the last, I think it was around the last verse of Acts chapter 4, you need to understand what was going on. There'll be some preachers out there that say, hey, sell your house and give all the money to me. You know, the Bible says this was when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there was funding needed to get the work finished. Now, we are at a point where there's funding needed to get the work finished, but just be careful and make sure the Spirit of God is leading. Notice what it says, and Joseph, who by the apostle was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So he kind of got the ball rolling, you might say, but there was funding needed to get the gospel out. And remember, the Holy Spirit had fallen upon them, and they made all things common. It wasn't my stuff and your stuff. It was God's, and they recognized it. It's God's at all times, but we are stewards. And we are to be wise, and we are to let the Spirit lead us. So in that context, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, you have to understand, they could have brought that money and said, we're going to give half of this for the gospel. We're going to give a fourth of this for the gospel. We're going to give $1,000 of this money to the gospel. They could have done whatever they chose. But you see, they wanted the when Barnabas did it, everybody was like, wow, I'm sure they were thanking God and impressed with his lack of selfishness. So they wanted that approbation. They wanted people to look at them as very, very godly. So they wanted the praise of men. You follow me? They wanted the praise of men, so they lied. So it wasn't that the fact that they kept back part of the money was not the issue. They lied and said, we've given all this money, meaning that we have no desire to have it. It's just all for the gospel. They were lying. They were keeping it to put something back in their nest egg. And so that's what the issue was, not that they didn't give all of it. It's just that they lied and said that they gave all of it. Kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remains, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? So even after you sold it, you could have given to God what returned to God, whatever you wanted to, okay? But it says, why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. It was the lie that was the issue, okay? It wasn't the amount of money that they gave. It was the lie. They wanted the praise of men, letting people think that they were so awesomely unselfish that they sold this land and gave all of it to God's cause. They wanted the praise of men. So they say, well, listen, we just sold this land for $200,000. When they sold it for $400,000, you see, they said, we sold this land for $200,000, and here is all the money. They were lying. They were keeping back $200,000 or whatever it was. And so Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. You see, sometimes God has to act signally in certain situations to keep a big mistake from coming into the church. And these people, after seeing the Holy Spirit poured out, where people spoke in other languages, heard the gospel preached, saw these mighty miracles, that knew of the work of Christ and the sacrifice that he had done. So you have to understand, it's a very grievous sin for Ananias. He had seen all of the power of God, and then he's just going to lie just to get the praise that he sees coming to the people of God that seem to give sacrificially. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and Peter answered unto her. So he's given her an opportunity. Tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. So she was complicit. They conceived this together. They were a Bonnie and Clyde. They were partners in crime. And Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. She fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And God wanted them to not set a precedent. You see, it would have probably been found out. And people said, oh, I can get this. People like me too and think I'm so holy too. I'm going to sell my land and give a quarter of it, but tell it that it's, you know, they were lying. So God had to do this so that at this early stage in the church's development, people would understand the seriousness of being honest, the seriousness of giving sacrificially, the seriousness of doing God's work, my friends. All right, let's read on. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter's passing might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about. I'm sorry, we just read that. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is of the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. Now, what were they filled with indignation about? Sick people and people who were vexed with unclean spirits. Brothers and sisters, sometimes that's people labeled as mentally ill, just not all in your right mind. Sometimes we just need to ask the Lord to deliver us from an evil spirit. Oftentimes, that's all it is, brothers and sisters. And people are taking pills and doing this. We just say, Lord, I need to be delivered from this evil spirit. And if you want to, God will deliver you, my brothers and sisters. Okay? So people were getting healed of their physical and mental diseases. And the leadership of the church got mad and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. You see, let me tell you something. It might not always seem so, but God is always at least one step ahead of the devil. Now, God is always way ahead, but he manifests itself sometimes in one step ahead. So here, they called a conference meeting, and the conference, we got to figure out what we're going to do, so let's go search them in prison. And these people are up teaching in their temple, okay, because that's God's already a step ahead. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, prison truly we found shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence. for they feared the people, lest they should have them stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Now they know they killed Christ. You see, when you are gone, I'm just talking about gone, meaning that you have grieved the Holy Ghost. These men had grieved the Holy Ghost by this time. They know they were the ones who killed Christ. And they're saying, you're teaching these people that his man's blood is upon us. You see, friends, that's why it's always good to be in your right mind and let the Lord lead you. When I say your right mind, I'm talking about not being selfish, not being proud, not being lying, not being political, because you will lose your mind, okay? So the bottom line is that when you are humble, God can work with you and deliver you from any condition, whether it's physical or mental. Just ask the Lord for his help, my friend. So they're saying, then Peter and other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So they said, didn't we tell you not to preach about this man and say that his blood's on our hands, which it was? And Peter just simply said, we have to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. Now, this is a verse that's very interesting. Acts chapter 5, verse 31, it says, for to give repentance to Israel. Did you know that repentance is a gift? That's right, my friends. So if you're not even sorry for your sin, you can still be saved. Why? Because you can say, Lord, I know I'm supposed to be sorry for my sin, but I'm not even sorry. I need the gift of repentance. You see, there's no excuse for sin. Because even if you don't want to follow Jesus, but you know it's the right thing to do, you can ask him to change how you feel, and he will. You see, it's a gift. You can ask God. It says every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above in the book of James chapter 1. So my point is that there's no excuse for sin, because even if you don't feel like repenting, you can ask for the gift. Amen. That's Acts 5:31. And we are his witnesses of these things, Peter goes on to say. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. You see, when you have pretty much resisted the Holy Spirit until he's grieved. You see, a lot of people don't understand. You can grieve the Holy Ghost before your probation closes. You can grieve the Holy Ghost to the point where he's just constantly knocking at the door, constantly wooing you, and you just constantly keep closing the door. And so he will give you evidence after evidence after evidence, but if you keep rejecting, 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 brothers and sisters, and there comes a point in time where the Holy Ghost can't work with you anymore, okay? And said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. I'm sorry, verse 34. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. He said, hey, let them put them aside. I'm not going to talk. He wanted to talk privately to the leadership. And said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. In other words, you better be careful. For before these days rose up Satan, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away many people after him, he also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. Okay? And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. And by the way, when it says in the days of taxing, Jesus was born in the days of taxing. And see, the Bible predicted that Jesus would be born at that time. So it would appear that this verse tells us that the devil had a distraction at that time, and he got this man named Judas of Galilee who drew away many people because he was trying to draw away attention from the baby Jesus. See, the Lord just revealed that to me, and that's a beautiful thing. That's why we need to keep studying the word, because the Bible is very clear. It was the days of taxing when I forgot which Caesar, but he was known as the one who raised taxes. It's in Daniel 11, and it's in history books. But he did, I think it was Julius Caesar, I'm not sure. But anyway, the one who was alive when Jesus was born, he was a emperor that did heavy taxation. That's why Joseph and Mary had to come to pay their taxes, and they came, and there was no room in the inn. Okay? So, that being said, let's keep reading. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone, for if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest happily ye be found even to fight against God. So, my brothers and sisters, there you have it. The Bible is telling us that if something is of God, we can't stop it. If it's not of God, don't worry about it. It's not going to prosper. It's you know, so that means you don't have to be focused on your enemies who made themselves enemies. If their work is not of God, it will fail. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you a personal experience. I went through the most, I'm not going to give you the details, but I went through an experience with the worst experience of my life. Worst experience of my life. And there was a whole group of people that were against me, okay, and that told lies and tried to destroy my reputation, so on and so forth. And I'm not saying that in all things I did everything right, but I just didn't do what they said I did, brothers and sisters. So we can learn from those experiences. And anything that if I didn't handle a situation perfectly, I repented immediately. Nonetheless, my brothers and sisters, this was the worst experience of my life. And I'm going to tell you this. Every single one of those people who stood against me, they're not doing well today. One of the main ringleaders has a mental illness. He's gone, lost his family, and is mentally ill. Others just aren't doing well. And it's not that I want them not to do well. That's not the issue. When you love God, you love people. You don't get happy when people are suffering. But you have to understand, people try to kill you or kill your reputation. They have to answer to God. If you're God, then they're hurting God. And there has to be punishment. Now, if they will humble themselves, God can bless them. And we would want that, friend. When you have a mindset where you want bad to happen to your enemies, now I'm not trying to say you don't want to be delivered. I'm from a near death situation or whatever. But you shouldn't just say, "Oh, I just can't wait for God to destroy them." No. That's not the right attitude. But I'm here to tell you, I have seen this. If it's of God, it will prosper. If it's not of God, it'll come to naught. And brothers and sisters, every single one. I'm not kidding you. I mean, as I have heard, and I don't even have contact with these people, but people who do have seen them or whatever, not a single one is doing well. And these were people who pretty much tried to destroy me, and God has been blessing me. So nonetheless, friends, I've seen this firsthand. I'm just here to give you my testimony. You follow God. You might be going through a bad situation. You might have some enemies. You might have some people that don't want the best for you. You stay with God. He will bless you, and those who came against you, God will deal with them. Amen. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest happily ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. You see, Satan is always going to try to beat you down, whether it's a physical beating or an emotional beating or a spiritual beating. That's who he is. He's still trying to use force. They wanted to use the policy of force. God uses the principle of love, my friends. I will tell you, friends, when I was going through my trial, I was following the principle of love. People tried to make it seem like it wasn't love, but it was love, my friends. I did everything I could to love the people I was supposed to love, and they did all they could to destroy me, and now years later, not doing well, and God will bless. So I just want to encourage you, my friends, that's what God will do for you. Follow this counsel. Be faithful. Be like the apostles and just stand on the word of God. It's not popular to stand on the word of God, but when God tells you to do something, you stand on that. I don't care if you lose all your friends. I don't care if you lose all your support. I don't care if you lose all the money in the world. God will bless you. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Do you realize that we are promised that we will have to suffer shame and reproach for the name of God? Reproach is when people say bad things about you. Reproach is when people are lying on you and saying you're doing things that you're not doing. But you suffer that for the name of Christ. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Oh, my brothers and sisters, this is powerful. It's a beautiful thing. I will tell you what, I'm just happy I serve the Lord, and I believe you can say the same. What would we be without Jesus, my friends? God is so good. All right, let's have prayer. Father, thank you for the worship thought. And as we come back in a few minutes and have our wellness, I pray that you will touch Sister Lenny as she presents the topic, her topic. I pray that you would bless each of us, that we will be faithful like the apostles and not unfaithful in covetousness and selfish like Ananias and Sapphira. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, let me give you the topic that we'll be covering for our wellness segment. And that's going to be, where's the umbrella? Where's the umbrella? All right, it's time now for the torso song. We will play that at this time. In about 8 minutes, Sister Lenny will be sharing Where's the Umbrella for Our Wellness.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon. Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north is your health, it's so-so. You might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. So when you indulge and you run from the scale, the battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain. You're a your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to So-So, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. Disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Come and see.
At this time, we'll hear from Sister Lenny, Where's the Umbrella?
Good morning. Happy Wednesday. This morning's health segment is about stress, even though it's entitled, Where's the Umbrella? Okay, so I'm on my way to an appointment, and I come upon an older gentleman in a space where he had newspapers that was covered with plastic, stacked as if he was setting them up to sell. It had just started to rain. I acknowledged him and kept going. When I got about a mile away is when I heard this voice in my head say, "Go back and give that man your umbrella." Now, I had just purchased my brand new umbrella, heavy, black, big umbrella. Do you know I started fussing and complaining of how I just bought that umbrella? Can't believe I'm to give my brand new umbrella to someone else. Well, by then, it had started raining very hard. It was pouring. I couldn't go any further. I had to turn around, go back about 2 miles, and take that gentleman my umbrella. I never will forget the look on his face when I pulled up alongside of him, got out of my car with my umbrella. I said, "Sir, take my umbrella. You're getting drenched." He kept thanking me over and over again. Now I'm nervous because I'm late for my appointment, almost late for my appointment. I get there only to be told that my appointment was canceled the day before, and I never got that message. Exactly 1 week later, I had to go in town. I'm at the light. I look to my left, and I see the same gentleman. It's raining again, and he's standing on the side with newspapers, getting soaking wet. And he doesn't even have my umbrella. Let me tell you, I got so stressed about that in my chest. My chest felt heavy. I was so upset because I felt like I did what I was supposed to do. I gave him my umbrella. He didn't even appreciate it. You know, what a blessing he received, and he didn't appreciate it. I could not believe that this man was in the same situation again. I actually could feel my blood pressure rising. Then I started talking to the Lord. "Why did you allow me to do this?" I went on and on asking why. Do you know what happens when you're stressed out? Your heart pounds fast. Your muscles tighten. Your blood pressure rises. You can get pain and bloating and nausea. Palpitations in the chest, like your heart beats real, real fast. You're feeling these feelings because your body is pumping adrenaline into the bloodstream, so it spreads throughout the body and can cause your blood to become impure, which causes inflammation and then sickness and disease as a result. Anything could have happened to that umbrella. It could have been stolen, it could have been lost, or just forgotten that day. So why did I stress myself out about it? It was not my umbrella anymore. I gave it to that gentleman, so I should have released it because I did what the Holy Spirit instructed me to do. So then I went and bought a new umbrella. 3 weeks later, I'm going down the street, and I notice a gentleman in a wheelchair who appears to have cerebral palsy. Before going into the store, I go over to him with my new umbrella and offer it to him because it was raining. It was pouring again. There was no fussing from me, no complaining from me, and I didn't feel any stress whatsoever. He kept saying to me, "Ma'am, no, that's okay. And what are you going to do?" I said, "Sir, I'm driving. It's water. It's okay. I'm okay." So I gave him my umbrella. We cause a lot of undue stress to our bodies. We don't have to be stressed out. Let's let go of those little things, such as an umbrella. Give it all to Jesus, and I promise you, He will make it all right. May God's blessings surround you today as you strive to have an unstressful day. Thank you, and God bless you.
Amen. And you know, Sister Lydia, I was thinking when you were sharing that, he might have had the same spirit on him that came on you and given that umbrella to somebody who needed it more than he did. So
yes,
that's a beautiful story. Beautiful
yes
story. Praise God. Phone lines are open, brothers and sisters. We'll start with Facebook for our roll call. I see South Carolina. I see North Carolina. I see Georgia. God bless each one of you. Thank you for your nice words there. And on the call, we have Ohio. We have Alabama. We have Delaware and Delaware again. We have Ohio. We have Iowa. And we have Georgia. Praise God for each one of you. And the phone lines are open. Please feel free to press star 6 and share anything, ask any questions that you would like to ask. For those of you who have been, you know, we've been giving our update, you know, mom is with us still. Her breathing is very shallow. You know, when I walked in, however, you know, and touched her, she opened her eyes wide and had a pleasant look on her face. But breathing is very shallow. Don't know. She's not really taking in anything, so she's just being sustained by the power of God. Point: this is day 21, and that is unheard of for a person almost 93 who stopped dialysis, lived for 3 weeks after their last dialysis treatment. I mean, the hospice nurses are amazed, and we're just letting God be God, and we're putting everything in his hands. Amen. We're letting God be God, and like Sister Lenny said, no stress. Amen. God is good, and he's merciful, precious in the sight of the Lord and the death of his saints, and God has lent mom to this world for 92-plus years, almost 93. It'll be 93 were she to live to the 25th of May. We're not expecting that, but that's our update. Thank you for your prayers. We've been given this assignment, and by the grace of God, God is appearing to take this assignment and reassign us. And he's going to hold on to the breath of life until the resurrection morning. Praise God. All right, my friends, is there anyone that would like to share anything? Please feel free. We've got about, what is that, about 17 minutes to the top of the hour, something like that. All right, my friends, we'll go ahead and close with prayer. My wife, Undreamed Of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. We ask, Lord, that your spirit will continue to be with us throughout this day. We ask that you will bless us in a special way. We thank you for all that you do for us, and at this time, we ask that everyone who has silent petitions, that you will honor them in accordance with your perfect will as they're being sent up to you even now. And we pray, Lord, that every heart can be surrendered as we continue to obey you. Help us be faithful to you and let us do all that we can to be able to receive the crown of life. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Our closing song, brothers and sisters, is It's About Time. We'll do our final salutation. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution and in the world to come. Eternal.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now undreamed of. God bless you.
Our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust.